Good morning. I'm Chrissy Clark, sitting in for Rachel Miro, and this is the California Report. Governor Jerry Brown has blocked a bill that would have let California child care workers unionize. In his veto message, Brown wrote that he supports working conditions that are decent and fair for those who take care of our children, but he said the program would likely be too expensive in the face of the state's huge budget challenges. Brown also approved a stack of bills yesterday, including one that bans the chemical bisphenol A from baby bottles. Studies have shown that chemical can hurt childhood development. Also getting the governor's signature is legislation that gives the state auditor broad new powers to investigate the misuse of taxpayer funds by cities and counties. It was created in the wake of the financial scandal in the city of Bell. Brown still has hundreds of bills to sign or veto by the deadline Sunday. An unusually early winter storm is bringing heavy rain to much of the state today. Utility companies are bracing for high winds and crashing tree limbs that could bring power outages. The first big storm of the year will send snow as low as 5,000 feet. Nearly half of California workers will retire in poverty or close to it, according to a new UC Berkeley study. As Mina Kim reports, Californians are less likely than most Americans to have employer-sponsored retirement plans.
Most California employers offer either 401k plans or no retirement plan at all, says Nari Ree. She's with UC Berkeley Labor Center and co-author of the study. Ree says that means workers are overwhelmingly dependent on Social Security for their retirement income.
But on top of that, in order to get out of poverty, California workers really need, you know, some other kind of retirement income.
The study projects nearly half of the state's workers, aged 25 to 64, will have retirement incomes of just over $22,000 a year. And that's not just low-income workers, Ree says, but middle-class workers, too.
And that means more reliance on public assistance programs and a strain on the state budget.
Ree says the findings underscore a need for a publicly sponsored retirement plan to fill gaps in coverage. For the California Report, I'm Mina Kim.
Mendocino County is trying to return to life as usual after a five-week manhunt ended on Saturday. Aaron Bassler, suspected in two recent murders, was shot dead in the forest by SWAT team officers. But Bassler's family and local mental health advocates say he was suffering from undiagnosed schizophrenia, and if he'd gotten adequate psychiatric care, the murders might not have happened. Across the state in Orange County, similar discussions bubbled up recently after police killed a schizophrenic man in a violent run-in. These events have prompted supervisors in both counties to consider using something called Laura's Law. We're joined by LA Times reporter Lee Romney, who's been covering this little-known law. So, Lee, how exactly does it work?
Well, Laura's Law went into effect in January 2003, and it came in response to the shooting death of 19-year-old Laura Wilcox in Nevada County by a mentally ill man who was refusing medication. And it allows counties to set up programs to mandate outpatient care, or basically court order outpatient treatment for severely mentally ill people who would otherwise refuse it and who have been repeatedly hospitalized, incarcerated, or have been dangerous.
Could this law have made a difference in the case of the suspect who was killed over the weekend in Mendocino?
This has triggered a lot of conversation about that. And the father, Jim Bassler, who's a fisherman in Fort Bragg, he has become a vocal advocate of Laura's Law and believes that it would have helped his son and kept the public safe. There are some questions because Aaron Bassler had been undiagnosed largely. But from what the family describes and from a run-in he had with the federal courts in 2009, it does appear that, you know, many people believe he did suffer from severe mental illness, most likely schizophrenia, and was resistant to treatment and even to the notion that he was delusional and paranoid. He may very well have been a candidate. It would have been something for a judge to decide if the program had been in effect.
Nobody wants to think their son is a cold-blooded murderer. Are there other voices that say this law wouldn't have even applied?
I think there are people who are pointing out that he was a user of illegal drugs. He had used methamphetamine and other drugs. You know, they've speculated maybe he could have been experiencing meth-induced psychosis. Many people who suffer from severe mental illness like schizophrenia have substance abuse problems. Whether that caused his psychosis or if he was schizophrenic is just a question that will remain unanswered.
Now that this event and others in the state have been triggering a renewed discussion around Laura's Law, talk a little bit about where it's been all these years. California passed the law almost 10 years ago, but it's only been implemented in one county. Why is it so rarely used?
Well, there is a really profound philosophical debate around what is considered involuntary treatment, and it really stems from the civil rights movement on behalf of patients who for decades were institutionalized against their will, treated against their will, sterilized against their will, and so forth. And so the pendulum has really swung in the direction of choice. Because Laura's Law is court-ordered, it is perceived as, you know, involuntary. It's for people who don't voluntarily engage with the system. And because of that, there's been tremendous debate in every county that's considered it.
And how does a discussion like this even move forward, given the fact that right now counties are strapped to fund even just basic mental health services?
I do think that is what is going to hang up this conversation, and it has in the past. But in Mendocino County, for example, the same board meeting where supervisors agreed that they want to hear more about Laura's Law, they learned that the budget was balanced by gutting, you know, the mental health staff for basic services and cutting the hours of jail psychiatrists. So in the absence of really basic services, there are advocates who are adamant that they don't want elaborate programs going only to those people who refuse treatment. They want to make sure that there's basic treatment available for everybody.
So how is the law working in Nevada County, in this one county where it has been implemented?
Nevada County just released a report recently that showed some pretty remarkable results. And they found that for every dollar that they've invested in the program, that they've saved $1.81. And that those savings came from a 61% decrease in the number of days of hospitalization and something like a 97% decrease in incarceration days. And those decreases do represent a cost savings.
Lee Romney, thank you so much for discussing this.
Thank you for having me.
Lee Romney is a reporter for the Los Angeles Times. And that's the California Report for Wednesday, October 5th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Chrissy Clark. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the SunPower Corporation, offering high-efficiency solar energy solutions to households and businesses in California and worldwide. The world standard for solar. SunPowerSolar.com. The Mary Van Voorhees Fund and the Fallis Family Fund for coverage of climate change. And Barracuda Networks, innovators of simple solutions to complex IT problems, such as balancing network traffic for improved performance. Barracuda.com.